Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You had your first or second COVID shot. Let us know how that went at Blaine and Mickey. Jim Wyatt said to join us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here to talk a little Titans rookie mini camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
Blaine, hanging in there today.
I guess it's not as bad. I had the Moderna shot too, by the way. A lot of people are asking me on social media, texting me and everything. But yeah, that wasn't as bad as the Brian kid there that happened to him. I felt like that was the Austin Peay kid that they got really catfished. I guess that was what happened there. I know that kid personally.
Oh,
yeah, that kid I actually trained. He was one of the kids we trained there at Boost Fit for the combine. And the guy actually earned his scholarship. He was a walk-on and actually slept in his car at times. I had all the kids go around and tell their story in the beginning before I even started training, so I could kind of get to know them a little better, so they understood who they were and what they would have to overcome and what they've overcome to that point. And he told his story was heart-wrenching about how he even got there and then how he got a shot and how he was living in his freaking car, to get a trial with at Austin Peay. So that, you know, and to hear that story, I that hurts me just as much as I was in tears on my knees from a second COVID shot. I mean, that is just horrible. Whoever did that, man, more power to you. I said, well, yeah, that's not good. You don't be doing that. That is horrible. Thoughts and prayers go to him. He became an OVC all-conference player too, by the way. Really good dude too.
Yeah, he's handled this with all the class in the world, this young man, for sure. We can hit that story again later and talk about it. But young man from Austin Peay, great story. Got a text. Jim Wyatt joins us now, TennesseeTitans.com. We'll talk about the Titans. But, Jim, that was a crazy story involving a young man who played at Austin Peay. He got a text from somebody claiming to be Dean Pease and inviting him to try out for the Falcons. And he went all the way there, and the Falcons said, we didn't send a message. It's not us. But it looks like he got invited to one of these regional hub combine type things. So it looks like he will actually get a shot. So there is a happy ending to this story, it looks like.
Crazy. I mean, when the teams, and obviously you're heading into the league, or you think you're heading the league, you don't know how things are going to happen. Obviously, you know, when guys are signed, there's a lot of communication that goes on, and it would be more than just a text. You got to line up travel, and you got to, certainly make sure you're following COVID protocols, and there would be a lot of things that would transpire leading up to that. But if you're a young guy who is thinking you got a shot, you don't know exactly what you're getting into. So hated to see that. I mean, hope it doesn't give anybody any ideas moving forward. Just shows you that, some things in this world happen to make you shake your head, and unfortunate to see it happen to a young man from the Nashville, from Nashville, Tennessee, that played Austin Peay.
Before I hand you over to Blaine, Lucas just sent us this message. I hadn't seen it. There's some news. Another guy who played some college football in this area, Kalijah Lipscomb. I saw him out there on Saturday. Saw him trying out this weekend. It looks like he's gotten a contract to get a shot as a receiver with the Titans.
Yeah, Titans, we just put that news out, a little bit after the top of the hour. He's been signed after the rookie minicamp. As you know, Mickey, four guys were out there. He was the one that was signed. And I think I was standing next to you when he went past us. And, it looked to me like he was battling cramps all day. He went in, went out, went back in, came back out. I was impressed with his footwork, with his agility, going through some of the individual drills he had. He had one period where, if you're rolling the video and use that snippet of it, you look at it and think, well, how'd this guy make the team? But you obviously can't judge from one snippet. I remember a snippet that ran of Derrick Henry's footwork back when he's a rookie, and people kind of making light of him. And I think he turned out to be okay. I'm not saying that Kalijah Lipscomb's turning out to be the next next top flight receiver in the NFL, but you've got to, you know, but obviously the Titans judged his performance from not just, you know, the practice that we watched where he had some cramps, but also from the practice that took place on Friday. He had a mini camp on Sunday. You know, they had meetings. And they swapped out players and released Lipscomb. They also made a couple other roster moves. They released Rashard Davis, who we know that's been around here for a little bit off and on. And then they also released Davin Bellamy, linebacker, who had a non-football injury. So just some roster shuffling that goes on. You know, we'll see, you know, how long and if Lipscomb can stick to camp and when he would really have a chance to show himself. And then we'll just kind of see how things, how this roster kind of, I'm sure it's going to be, things will be a little bit fluid here as we get through the offseason as we try to get this thing ready for camp.
Talking with Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com after rookie minicamp this weekend.
Yes, Jimbo, I guess kind of talk to the audience and the listeners. I guess what is the actual goals by the coaches for the minicamp?
Well, obviously, you can't do much on the field. I mean, they're just, with limited numbers, you can't do 11 on 11. You can't do a lot of live work. It was pretty light, you know, practice on, you know, all the way through. And, you know, a lot of individual work, a lot of, you know, jog-throughs, walk-throughs. I think the coaching staff is just trying to make sure these guys are in their playbooks, making sure that they have a good understanding of what they're being asked. You don't want guys making, as you heard this said many times, you don't want to make the same mistake twice. You want to learn from the mistakes they made. And then, you know, with a guy like Caleb Farley, obviously you want him to rehab. And, you know, some other guys working through some things. You don't want to overdo it here on May the, you know, the 15th and 16th when you're trying to get guys ready for much more important practices and things moving forward. So I think mainly just get them acclimated. It's going to be another week. I thought it was interesting. Mike Vrabel, you know, said after, you know, after practice on Saturday that, you know, the plan is to have these rookies continue to work on their own for this week. And then next week they'll kind of incorporate them into what the veterans are doing as well. The veterans that are there. And so the learning process will kind of continue through the course of this week to get those guys ready.
No doubt about it. We're on with Jim Wild, TennesseeTitans.com. I guess who, seemed more entertaining and interesting and their personality came out when they got in front of the press, you think?
Well, we got to talk to three guys, Caleb Farley, one of them, Dylan Ravens, the other, and then Des Fitzpatrick. You know, I thought all those guys, I mean, Farley, I think, you know, he's in a tough spot because he's the first round pick and he's excited. He wants to be out there and he's taking questions from media, but in reality, you know, he's not able to do what he wants to do. But I think he's handled himself well during the Zoom call opportunities. He said he's working his butt off, you know, feels like a freshman again. And is dying to be out there. You know, Ravens was funny. I mean, he talked about, you know, enjoying the opportunity to get a tan here in Nashville compared to Fargo, North Dakota, where he spent the past, you know, 4 years of his life. You know, I watched him a good part of the day on Saturday. You know, he's athletic, good footwork, you know, is going to be tried, I'm sure, at some different positions as we kind of work our way through the offseason before they kind of really lock him in and try to get him ready. And then I've been impressed with Des Fitzpatrick. And I think I even mentioned Joe, you know, noticed where Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, you know, had a tweet over the weekend just about how he's a little bit surprised he didn't move up the draft boards just because of during the interview process, just because he is such a well-spoken young man and very football savvy. You know, the father that the football coach that had him, you know, working in his yard doing cone drills and doing ladder drills when he was 6-7 years old. So, you know, it's funny. Those guys did well during the interview portion, the three that talked. And then, you know, you may ask me about what I saw in the practice field. The reality is, and Vicky attests to this, I mean, it just wasn't a lot from a full speed standpoint at all. I mean, it really wasn't any. It was mostly individual work. I think he gleaned the most watching the receivers, and I thought Fitzpatrick, caught the ball well with his hands. I thought his footwork was good. I thought he got more comfortable as practice went on. Racy McMath, the sixth-round pick out of LSU, looks the part. He's 6'3", 217. He doesn't fill out the jersey like maybe Jonnu Smith, the tight end, who wore that number 81 last year. But from a physical perspective, they got some big draft picks at receiver.
No doubt about it. I'm kind of interested, Jim, in some of the free agent tight ends that were out there and how they actually look, because I think it's an opportunity at least for one of them to maybe squeak in and make the roster.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's we don't know if the GM has something up his sleeve there. Yeah, I look at that group, and Obviously Anthony Firkser, has had had some opportunities, and Jeff Swaim has been in the league for a little while, knows what he's doing. He was a good blocker, but after that, you've got a bunch of kind of unproven players, and now you add a couple of free agents to the mix in Miller Forstall from Alabama and Briley Moore from Kansas State. I've seen Forstall play a lot, just from the SEC. I have a daughter that goes to graduate from Alabama. She's got another year left of grad school, getting her master's next year, so she's getting another football season, which means I may make it down there for another game.
Well, congratulations on that, Jim.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Forstall won't be there this fall, but what I have seen of him is he's 6'5", 239, got good hands, he's a good athlete. But I will say, when this class first came out, it includes 10 undrafted free agents. I kind of asking around about contenders to watch of that group, and Moore is the one of the first guys that someone mentioned to me. Keep an eye on him. So just a start over the weekend, but be curious to see if those guys can establish themselves here as we get into camp.
Well, with the legendary Jim Wide covering the TennesseeTitans.com.
Jimbo, we all got out there, and I think nobody really expected to see 23, which is Caleb Farley, but we were all looking for 24, which, of course, is no longer Vaccaro. It's Elijah Molden, and he comes out late and does some stuff, and then Mike Vrabel basically, when asked and pressed, eventually said, well, if this was a regular season practice, we would have called him limited. So we did see a little bit of him, but not much.
Yeah, not much, and he didn't give any indication on what he's dealing with. And you just have to wonder if it's, if it's something that they're obviously being careful with. But again, it's the middle of May, and you don't want to overdo it with these guys early. The most important thing I think right now is the classroom part of it, getting the playbook, getting acclimated. They're not doing anything full speed. He was out there for the 7-on-7 and kind of the walkthrough period, which is really the most important part of it. And I will say this, from what I saw of him, he fills out a uniform. Even they didn't have pads on, but he's probably a little thicker and more stout than I even thought he was. Seen him on film, hadn't seen him in person, and he listed at 5'10", 192. He's a pretty big corner. I mean, I have to say that he was, you give these guys the eye test when you first see him. He passed the eye test even if he wasn't out there running around.
Well, it certainly seems like he will have a great opportunity to start or for a whole lot of playing time this fall. Another guy, and unfortunately, we've talked more about his pending legal circumstances than anything, is Rashard Weaver. He was at one point, you and I were trying to get a good look at him, and it was like the grainy Sasquatch picture. He was so far away from us, but during stretch and some different things, that guy looks big and he looks powerful. And here's the thing. I mean, if the season started today and if whatever legally gets worked out, he's your number three pass rusher, right? I mean, he's already an important part of this defense.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right about, kind of the distance we had to view him from, the linebackers. And you've got those three fields out there, the linebackers working in the middle field, kind of right in the middle of it. So he was working on that middle field. Monty Rice, the third round pick linebacker out of Georgia, was doing the same. Kind of saw them from a distance. But he is, big and long. You know, he's got that number 99 jersey on it. You know, it's been been the jersey to some pretty famous Titans, from Jarrell Casey to obviously Jadeveon Clowney last year. He is. I mean, he's going to have a lot on his plate, and we'll have a, you know, there will be a sense of urgency dealing with him, just because they are counting on, we'll count on him early. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, when these veterans are out there, when the time comes, and who knows exactly when that's going to be. I mean, obviously some new pieces there, Bud Dupree, the biggest one, but someone like Weaver, you know, when he was picked, I think a lot of people felt like he is a talented young man who could help this team early. And now we'll just kind of see how he develops.
On with Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, at Jay Wyatt Sports on Twitter, if you want to keep up with all the latest on the Tennessee Titans.
Well, naturally, Jim, you know, I have to ask about the new B squared you got there at safety. How did he look? Did he look knowledgeable? Was he a quick thinker? Was he making adjustments? You know, I only can see so much from the videos you shoot out there, but I was trying to imagine that he was doing that just because he's double B.
Yeah, yeah, I've been double and double threes too. He's wearing that 33, Michael Griffin.
Yeah,
Michael Griffin. Or,
and then of course Caleb Farley going to be decked out in that famous number 23. But you know, I kept an eye on Brady Breeze, and you know, a lot of communication. I mean, again, it was a lot of walkthrough stuff, a lot of teaching going on, and I noticed the coaching staff spending some time with him. I'm anxious to see him, you know, when the pads come on, because he kind of has a reputation for being one of these guys who finds the football and kind of plays a little tenacity on special teams. It was tough to really get a great idea of what he's all about just from that, you know, session on Saturday, but certainly have heard a lot of good things about him and seems to carry himself pretty well.
Mm. What, any other rookie free agents that, like, this guy kind of seems knowledgeable, picks up things fast? Anybody that stood out like that was not drafted?
Well, the ones I guess I'm going to pay most attention to, we talk about the tight end, but obviously, you know, Naquan Jones, I still get a kick out of that. You know, you got
what happened?
That's the best.
What happened?
Yeah. and obviously, you know, after Daquan Jones departs, you know, they bring in a guy named Naquan, and somebody has some fun with that on Twitter. But, you know,
this guy's on him
with sunglasses, and he got a lot of attention. I mean, he's the only defensive lineman out there, so he spent a lot of time with Terrell Williams, but then he had other coaches there coaching him up. I mean, that's what you get. They had a pretty good group of old linemen there, but Big Naquan, you know, got a lot of attention and was a good weekend for him to learn. I have a feeling that all of us will probably watch Blake Hallbill, the kicker from Ohio State, the most of this bunch, just because I think he's got a real opportunity to win the job based on how things look now. Tucker McCann, obviously, there, but he was – you know, he spent time on the practice squad last year and kind of an unproven guy. So Hallbill is someone to keep an eye on. And I watched him a little bit on Sunday. We weren't doing anything in live periods, but he was working out. You know, he's a good size kicker. I mean, 6'4", 233. You know, he could probably make a tackle if he had to. You hope he's not in a position to do that. But you do hope he's in a position, you know, in camp where he's contending for a roster spot and a chance to win a job.
Jimbo, great stuff. Yeah, I think if you look at the kicker stats from Ohio State, I think he had like 11 tackles on special teams. I think he was kicking it to people to go and tackle them, and he is a big, big rascal, much like yourself, a big rascal. Jim, thank you, man. Great stuff.
Okay, you guys have a great week. I appreciate you having me on.